Okay, that was good, right?
That was good.
Good rambling. We're gonna prank Corbin.
Quality.
Yeah. Pranking Corbin's always good. Because he's terrible.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very standard episode of Brainstorm Brewery. Get it? Because there's a standard showdown happening.
Kill yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Corbin. Welcome, everyone, to the podcast. That's Jason trolling me already, and I'll let the guest DJ introduce himself.
Hello, my name is DJ Johnson.
What's the J stand for?
What's the J stand for?
Jeffrey.
Oh.
It's my middle name.
I thought you went by DJ because your name was Douglas Johnson.
Nope.
Oh. Well, shit.
I was actually DJ before I was born because I was named after my grandpa and he died like a few weeks before I was born. So my parents called me DJ so as not to remind my grandma of her dead husband.
Oh, neat. I was going to make fun of you for being named after the fat chick from Full House and now I'm glad I didn't. She has a name for my dead grandfather. No big deal. Oh, tight.
Well, then, there you go. It's a very standard episode, not only because we are bringing the usual high standards we have, as you can already tell, but there's a standard showdown that Wizards is doing now, and maybe it'll make people care about standard again. You know,
they already lost all of Canada to Frontier. They're never coming back.
Yeah, we may have to talk about Frontier like it's a serious thing at some point in the future, but I don't think we're there
yet. Yeah, remember Tiny Leaders? All the same people that love Tiny Leaders are talking about Frontier now. I think it's just Canadian people love inventing formats. You know what's great? EDH will be better
format.
If EDH you could only play with half the cards. Hi, I'm Bramble Wapple Tackle Wackle, and I've invented a completely new format that people are going to play for 6 months. Just long enough to ruin the price of Rings of Brightarth forever.
Sure, something like that. You're forgetting about Canadian Highlander,
no, I'm not.
Too, which is
I'm
legitimately
not
awesome.
I'm not letting them off the hook for Canadian Highlander.
Canadian Highlander is great.
Oh, shut up.
Whatever. Anyway, so let's talk about Standard Showdown. What is it? So we know that Wizards had the failed experiment of shortening Standard rotation. And now we're moving back to once-a-year rotation. But from what I understand, certainly seems like all signs are that Standard attendance did not do very well in the interim, so they're trying to kickstart it again. So from November 26th through December 17th, stores can host Standard Showdowns on Saturdays that have special promotional prize boosters that players can win. What that means is in these boosters, they'll have three cards each. It'll be a premium card from a currently legal Standard set, including Zendikar Expeditions and Kaladesh Inventions.
Whoa!
It'll have two non-premium cards that are either a rare or a mythic from a set currently legal on Standard. But apparently that does not mean it. Oath of the Gatewatch is not included for whatever reason. So Zendikar Expeditions and Kaladesh Inventions will appear roughly in one in every 33 booster packs. Everything's in English. So this is really interesting because I think, one, we know we saw this on WPN last week, and they upped the rate at which they were putting out Inventions and Expeditions, I think. Or it was, you know, maybe a failure in marketing, whatever. But the original number we got was 1 in 50, and now it's 1 in 33.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's going to be – do you guys think this is going to make people care about Standard again? Do you think this kickstarts – you know, some Saturday Standard leagues at the local gaming stores?
No. I don't know, man. It would be cool. I think... I don't know, man. I really wish they would just bring back player rewards instead of this lottery.
People got nothing better to do on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see it.
It's not like you're going on dates if you play Magic. Like, no one's having sex with you if you play Magic, so you might as well go play in this Saturday league. Yeah. Right? So, this...
Yeah, that's how. Yeah.
That's how Wizard sees it.
He said sarcastically. That's not how anyone sees it, actually. But I don't know. I mean, I think that the allure of a expedition or Inventions is something. You know, there are a lot of people who actually like Standard. And in my store, we have a lot more drafters on Friday nights than we do standard players. But the people who play standard really enjoy it. So, you know,
The cost of the event, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you give me, like, a $15 standard tournament, I'll just tell you to go screw yourself. But, like, if it's a $5 thing, why not?
Right, exactly. And, you know, we'll see how stores price it or whatever. But I think it's just really telling of the fact that there must, you know, the rotation change to 6 months must have been truly damaging to Wizards. To see not only it rolled back so quickly, but something like this to try to kickstart people into it around the holidays even. So it's, I don't know. It's definitely some drastic moves out of, you know, that side of the company.
Sounds like they're trying a lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, more expeditions and inventions is cool, and I guess. I mean, it's going to, theoretically, it probably won't lower the price of them all that much.
How could it?
Because, like, I don't think in the long run it's that many.
Yeah, I think the supply will be infinitesimal, and it's infinitesimal to begin with. So, but if it did lower the price, that'd be fine too, because I would love to actually be able to sell expeditions. I would love to be able to, like, buy them with confidence and sell them with ease. So I stay away as it is, you know? If I pack one, obviously I'm going to do something with it, but, like, I'm sort of staying away just because you're going to hang on to that stuff for a long time. And, or you just end up eBaying it, and, like, what's the point? I don't know. It's just, it's rough out here, man.
You can still sell stuff on TCG Player easy, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
TCG Player is way better than eBay, in my opinion. Like, there's some stuff that eBay is better for, like, probably foreign cards. Like, if you just sell stuff as a playset, eBay is fine. Or, also, if you're from an international, non-US country, then eBay is better because you can't sell on TCG Player. But, like, if you're in the US and you just want to, like, have a bunch of Magic cards, like Expeditions, Shocklands, Dual Lands, like, if you have a collection you want to piece out and sell and get max value out of, I don't know why you're not using TCG Player.
Well, the fees on TCG Player are just lower than elsewhere. That's one of the big things.
Well, do you mean compared? Well, it also depends, like, compared to eBay, because if you sell higher value cards in TCG Player, the fees are lower. But if you sell cheaper stuff, eBay's lower.
Sure, fair enough.
Because eBay's a flat fee, whereas TCG Player is 50 cents per transaction plus a 10.5% fee, whereas eBay is like 12. It's like 13 or 14% total or something like that. But if you sell, like, a $5 card, eBay's better.
Yeah, and then if you use TCG Player, you can participate in the PayPal boycott.
What?
What is that?
We're boycotting PayPal now.
Why is that?
Some people are.
Because the... Oh, for political reasons, I guess?
Yeah. Sure. I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to do it. I need PayPal.
Yeah.
Most people PayPal do.
We're getting a Chick-fil-A, and I'm going to go eat there. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. Good work. So let's talk about another big move from Wizards that honestly took me by surprise. You know, the standard showdown, whatever. I see the reasons behind that, whatever. But this next thing I did not expect, and that's an Eternal Masters reprint. I thought at first it would just be probably, a second wave from the distributor. We've seen stuff like that happen in the past where, you know, distributors hold some back so that they can fill orders afterwards, and then they, you know, they just have a bunch left and, you know, announce that stores can pick up a bunch more, right? That's normal. This is not that. This is Wizards actually announcing that they're going to do a small reprint of it. As they say, it's a modest reprint. The goal is to get Eternal Masters into the hands of interested players without distracting from Kaladesh or Aether Revolt. The size of the print run was chosen with that balance in mind. It will not be allocated by store level, and you do not have to sign up for it. Instead, it's up to distributors to allocate it. So they hope, and they say, we'll hope you use Eternal Masters for booster drafts. This is, I could be wrong, has Wizards done a reprint of something that was a limited run product before? I guess we've had dual deck anthologies, but we haven't had premium deck anthologies, right? Or from the vault anthologies.
No.
Nope.
I don't know how to feel about this. I mean,
I don't know, man. Some people think it's dangerous. I don't think it's dangerous so much as it is, like, who gives a shit? No one plays Legacy. Like, I don't, like...
Well, it's not about that. It's not about the cards. I mean, that's whatever, right? You know, sure, maybe some of, there'll be more stuff in Eternal Masters out there. It's the, you know, just the headline of Wizards reprinting limited run product.
Yeah, but they're reprinting something that, I mean, whatever.
Precedent's precedent.
Yeah.
But Corbin, Magic is dead. This is not worth talking about. I am a 21-year-old law student from Missouri, and I believe that Magic is going to die based on this information that you have presented me, in addition to every single influence I have taken from Magic for the past 2 years. Can you tell me why Magic would not be dead?
Wow, that's quite the salt from his other cast leaking over there from DJ.
That's very specific. Why do you even cast with that, dude? Seriously. You should quit that podcast.
Yeah, Brainstorm Brewery only.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Yep. No, I mean, I don't think that this is – it's obviously not killing Magic. I think it's more like, hey, Call of Duty has been out for a while. What do – you know, let's give stores something to sell around Christmas
time. Well, I mean, this was something that JR suggested a year ago about doing with Modern Masters, and that would have been way better than this.
Well, this is still good in that sense. You know, those holiday gift boxes, I think, are good for people who don't play Magic to go get for their kids who do, or their niece or nephew or what have you. But for sort of players who are entrenched a little more, those holiday boxes are not really what they want, whereas an Eternal Masters box is a nice Christmas gift.
Yeah, the holiday boxes are literally good because of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the past couple weren't even good because of that. Like, the Theros and Cons ones just suck.
Well, that was several years ago.
Well, like, the Battle for Zendikar ones were better, but nothing beats the RTR one. The RTR one was the best.
Yeah.
You can, like, drive over that box with a truck and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure the truck would be fine. It's a truck. Box is not going to hurt a truck, dude.
Got him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, talking about Eternal Masters, I think it's a good Christmas gift for people. It's just, it is.
A good Christmas gift.
If you find somebody who's willing to pay $200 on your Christmas gift for a box of Eternal Masters. Yeah.
I mean, then, or people go in on it. I think it's absolutely something that.
Merry Christmas. Here's cards for people, a format you can't play.
It's not about that. I think it would be about people drafting it or whatever, right? I mean. I don't know. There's certainly it's not an accident that it's coming out right before Christmas, I think.
Ugh. You know what would be a good Christmas gift for me? Not looking on eBay and seeing that conspiracy boxes are at cost.
You mean two or one?
Two. They're like $80 right now. It's like, Jesus. Is my LGS way overordered and they're just sitting on a bunch of them? I'm like, don't worry, I'll eBay them for you. And I was like, nope, I will get exactly what you paid for them. Before fees. Awesome. Like, everybody's just... I think everybody ate it on Conspiracy. Like, there's, like, no demand for it, even though there are good cards in it, and drafting's a thing. People would really rather draft Kaladesh. Like, I'm a big fan of Conspiracy, and I think I'm the only person on the planet who gives a hot shit, so I think they're just gonna... They're probably gonna stop doing it, because stores, like, have been burned, and they're just not gonna... They're not going to want to order any, or they're just going to order way less. I just don't understand what's going on with Conspiracy. Are there that many extra boxes just floating around that, like, what's the deal?
I mean, it's always been an unlimited print on that, so I don't know.
Like, I was able to find Conspiracy 1 boxes on Mass Drop like a year, 2 years, like a year ago, year and a half ago for like $80. So.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, they just those printed a bunch of it.
There's a $200 foil in there, and it's still an $80 box. Like, Selvala foils are probably going to be expensive for a while. Like, I don't know, because they've pretty much demonstrated a willingness to, like, if there's one expensive foil, they'll just put it in another set, which, like, just nerfs the box price entirely.
Yeah, they just judge foil it.
I think it's long past the time to stop investing in sealed product. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, I was saying crack Conspiracy. I'm not saying like buy boxes and sit on them. I mean, they're fun to
draft
with.
Or just buy singles of it.
And if you can get them for like your LGS's cost, then I don't know. I really there's good stuff for EDH and Legacy in that set. Same as Eternal Masters, but the boxes are half as much. There's not a foil per pack. That's like the big difference. And there's a lot of crap rares that are worth a dime and nobody even wants them because they're draft specific. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean,
what are you doing? Are you putting your mic in your pants? This is what I think of conspiracy.
I heard pants noises. Interesting.
But is it interesting that I can identify pants based on how they sound against a microphone? That is kind of interesting.
There were no pants involved. I don't know what you're talking about.
So you're podcasting new? What a disgusting creature you are.
Jesus, I don't want that mental
image. Dude, I never wear pants.
God, I've seen Corbin in real shorts, life, man. DJ. You don't put that fucking mental image in there, dude.
Pants are the worst. I think everyone agrees on that. Shorts are way better, especially cargo shorts.
Are they comfy and easy to wear?
They
are. We'll get to wear pants year-round here pretty soon. That'll be good. I'm looking forward to a much warmer planet. That'll be nice and comfy. Get to wear my Bermuda shorts in December.
So I'm going to take this back just a little. I mean, do you guys see this? This is the conspiracy theory, but it's... slippery slope, whatever. I mean, Eternal Masters reprint is the first time that they have gone against the promise of, you know, something being a limited run and not going to print any more of it. That's the first step on the path to, you know, easing into breaking that reserve list promise. So goes the conspiracy.
Oh, yeah, they totally have a reason to get rid of the reserve list when, like, they're canceling legacy events and then when they're, like, totally moving the focus on a standard. Killing the reserve list is totally on that line of track there.
Yep, I think that's enough. That's enough to kill it right there. It's a good point. But, we'll see. Eternal Masters reprint coming. I don't think it'll do a ton to the prices other than keep them from rising on some of the commander stuff. The legacy stuff, I just don't see much upside to at all. Don't pick these up thinking that the box prices are going to go up a ton over time. I'm sure they'll go up maybe some, but, you know, you just have to be aware that, you know, imagine what if you're somebody who did that in the first place, you know, Eternal Masters came out and you got a bunch of boxes to hold on to, and now they're reprinting it 6 months later. You know, that's probably concerning to those people.
Maybe those people should have listened to the people saying they shouldn't buy a bunch of Eternal Masters boxes.
maybe so. All right, so let's move on into Breaking Bulk then.
Finally.
All right.
Who wants to start?
Breaking Bulk time. Breaking Bulk time. Break.
Oh, here's 15 Moon Mists.
All right, I'll go.
It's a pick. Breaking Bulk. The end.
All right. Since there were a non-zero number of fellow podcasters who complained about my excessive use of Eventide and Shadowmoor, or should I say like Eventide and Shadowmoor or whatever, I'm gonna pick something from Original Mirrodin. I am continuously surprised that this card has not been reprinted yet. It sees play in Modern in the 8-rack deck. It's Wrenchmind. Black sorcery, target player discards two cards unless they discard an artifact.
Yeah, Wrenchmind. It's like, I don't know, it's a bad hymn, I guess, but like a better duress, kind of?
It's like a dollar is what it is. It's and you can just wreck them. You can just destroy people's hands with this. It's not even just Modern play. He's playing the casual 8-rack decks too. With like Liliana's Caress and all that, so
it took people a really long time to catch on to this card too, and it's all of a sudden, it's weird, random stuff from Mirrodin that people are like, wait, this is that good?
Yeah, and it's not even you'd expect it to be reprinted in like some sort of master set or some sort of dual deck set like Night's Whisper or something like that, but this is just avoided reprints for the past like 13 years, so. Yeah, you can buy with these for like 50 cents on a good
day. That's nuts.
Yeah, that is a pretty surprising one. All right, I'll jump in, and I want to go with a Commander card here, Commander 2016 in specific, because I'm sure as people break apart these decks, you're going to see a lot of these cards floating around. And while the habit is to throw away most of the non really broken or new or whatever stuff, there's value in those other cards too. So,
what you're going to pick?
Yeah.
I'm predicting that your pick, if it's not a land, it's Thought Vessel.
It is a land.
Okay.
It's Ash Barrens.
It is not Ash Barrens, although that is obviously one that people should know about.
That's
we've
the
talked
most
about
popular card out of all the Commander 2016. That's in the most decks so far.
That's next year's Thought Vessel.
Yeah. Okay. If it's not Ash Barrens, it's whatever last year's Ash Barrens was.
Well, there's actually a ton of cards, uncommons in the set that are, you know, worth 50 cents or above, a lot around $1. So there's a lot of good picks in this set, but I'm going to go with Krossum Verge because it's one you can find in other places as well. Krossum Verge is a land. It comes into play tapped. It adds colorless for 2 mana and sacrifice it. You can get a force and planes from your library and put them into play tapped. So not only
I'd be really surprised if you ever get these in bulk.
I see them in bulk all the time, and especially from Commander 2016, as people break apart those decks or they buy all 5 and just keep you know, the 2 that they like, it's almost certainly you're going to see them. Every version of this card is $1. The Judgment, when it was originally printed, is at $1 because it's old art, but even that has been climbing. And the newer ones, Plane Chase and Archenemy, are both $3, and in Commander 2016, it's currently at $1. So this is definitely something I'd be keeping my eye on from these sets.
I mean, they've demonstrated a willingness to print this card into powder, so while it's a pick, I wouldn't invest. But I would definitely pick these out of bulk, and I would buy list them as soon as you get them, because I bet Krossum Verge is in the next Commander set also. You know, real quickly, before I give you my pick, I just want to mention something that the fact that this card's uncommon is a little bit misleading. Not Krossum Verge specifically. Let's say take something like Thought Vessel was in multiple decks. It doesn't matter. I can't think of a specific card off the top of my head, but something that was printed at common or uncommon and is in only one of the Commander decks. Basically, if that's at common or uncommon, that's sort of their guess about power level, but it's not a guess about ubiquity. So something like Thought Vessel isn't like super overpowered necessarily, but if it gets played in a lot of decks, all of a sudden you're paying $1.50 for a Thought Vessel, despite it being in multiple decks, whereas some of these, you know, rares and mythics are less than that $1.50. So it's a little bit misleading to just look at the rarity when you're sorting, because you have to remember that there's only one of those cards, you know, for every copy of the, you know, the Chase Mythic, if it's only in the one deck. So it's got the same relative scarcity as, as the Chase Mythic. So that's something that people are like, oh, it's uncommon. So, I mean, you're not going to pull that out when you're just pulling out rares, but if you're surprised that some of these things are, you know, creeping up there, you got to realize that, you know, a lot of people want to play something like Thought Vessel. A lot of people want to play something like Commander Sphere, which is why Commander Sphere is over $1, despite being in multiple decks. So that's something just to think about, because you know, being in those pre-cons, it's basically printed at whatever rate the deck is, as opposed to there are 3, you know, there are 11 commons in a booster pack, 3 uncommons, 1 rare. You know, you're not going to have a common's not 11 times as or 11 times as common as a rare in the pre-cons. So that's just something to think about. I want to talk about my pick. No, go ahead. You were going to say go ahead.
Yeah, just going off what you said, like Grip of Phyresis, it's not going to be a pick. It's very narrow, but just to elaborate on what you were saying, the same number of Grip of Phyresis are going to exist as like the stupid fish thing, like
Deep Glow Skate.
One is a rare, one's an uncommon, but they both have the exact same overall supply,
so they won't have the same price, because Deep Glow Skate's obviously much better, and why wouldn't it be? It's got a higher power,
but I'm just saying,
exactly.
Like if you take an example like a rare like Deep Glow Skate that's just garbage, and you take an uncommon like Grip of Phyresis that's actually good, even though we can't think of the card names right now, like that uncommon is going to be worth more than the rare just because they have the exact same supply regardless of rarity. Yeah,
exactly. So my card is not in Commander decks. It was actually from a set, but it is played in a lot of Commander decks, and it's something that, like, it was just sort of dirtily, and, like, no one really wanted this for Standard, but EDH players are real interested in this. It's from Dark Ascension, it's uncommon, and it's two-sided. Can you guys guess what it is?
It's Dark Ascension.
Uncommon two-sided?
Two-sided. Hang on. It's an artifact. I'll give you that.
Chalice of
Life. Do you know how much Chalice of Life costs?
$1.
It's like close to, it's close to a dollar. It's like 80
cents.
Right?
It's a buck.
Yeah.
And it's insane. I get these in... I picked a collection today, and there were 11 of them just in a stripe. I was like, I paid $3 for the box this was in. So, Chalice of Life is a sweet one. It's a really good card, but nobody was like, I don't know, people who played like a lot of standard wouldn't pick this out. It's like, gain a life, whatever, flip it. And then you start shotgunning.
Come on, man,
people.
I played that card in standard.
Yeah, you probably
did. There was
a
long time where Chalice of Life wasn't a pick, even though it was like 40 or 50 cents. I could never see it anywhere more than like 3 cents on a buy list.
Yep.
So it's nice now. It's like 75 cents to a dollar, and it's actually worth a pick.
I know, I set them aside, and then. And then I just, yep, I randomly I lost track of them. When I had the kid, like, I just sort of suspended all my activities. So I picked a bunch of stuff. And then I went back to him, like, this is all worth more than it was. Because I had, like, a Trader Tools document. I opened it back up. I was like, that used to say $900, and now it says $1,200. So I was like, oops, I accidentally $300 by not doing anything. So sometimes you're accidentally good at this. So that felt good. Chalice of Life is just one of those cards that... It's a buck, man, and it's good, and they're not going to reprint it, like, ever. So, it's another one of those crazy cards. The foils are probably a thing, because it's a two-sided foil, and that's cool.
They're only, like, $2. They're only, like, $1 or $2. They don't have a great multiplier.
Yeah, because it's a casual-ish card. I mean, like, some Alora dudes are playing this, but for the most part, it's a casual-ish card, so, like, they just want the cheapest copy. Not the pimpest copy, because who's pimping out there?
I've definitely thought about it in Oloro. It does it does a lot of stuff in that deck specifically, because you have a lot of life gain triggers. So for people who don't know, it's a 3-mana artifact, tap to gain a life. Then if you have at least 10 more life than your starting life total, transform it. And it transforms into Chalice of Death, which just taps to make a player lose 5 life.
Yep.
It's okay. It's pretty good.
It's funny that it's way more effective in standard, that 5 damage, you know?
Yes.
But it gets way more play in EDH. I think that's funny.
I actually played this in standard as a 3-of. I built, like, a Bant life gain deck back when Thragtusk, like, was king. And so I built, like, a Bant life gain deck with this, Sphinx's Revelation, Rock's...
Faithmender.
Faithmender that doubles life gain? Yeah, Rock's Faithmender. I played Thragtusk myself. Like Augur of Bolas, just all these ridiculous like spells and creatures that would gain you life, and their Thragtusk deck would go up to 50. My Thragtusk deck would go up to like 70, except I'd have like tap Lava Axe on the field. So
how'd that work out for you?
Welcome to the brewery part of Brainstorm Brewery, making a comeback.
I almost cashed an SCG open with it. I'll put it that way.
Oh, nice. So it's worth noting on the foils of Chalice of Life, they've doubled in price from $1 to $2 over the past 2 years. So you're probably, and the same with the non-foil, really, it's gone from 35 cents to about 80 cents.
Foil Chalice of Life is unofficially on the reserve list, by the way. Like, just throwing that out there.
Yeah. I like that designation, unofficially on the reserve list.
The unofficial, the implicit reserve list. I mean, there's
that's a good article idea right there, actually.
I already wrote it. Yeah, we don't read your article.
Yeah, but like it could be an article series. Like, there's so many things it could be.
Sure.
Right?
Like, because I had that. Yeah, I had that Twitter discussion with Chaz last week, and I was arguing for long-term specs, and he was arguing for short-term specs based on the increase in reprints. But my argument was that there's a whole pile of cards out there that they really just can't fit within their new, like, quote-unquote modern paradigm for what they wanted Magic design to be. So, like, they can't really print Infect in, like, a standard set. They really can't print, like, Suspend stuff in a standard set. And, like, there's these weird cards that don't fit within the rules of, like, Commander or, like, Dual Decks or Archenemy or whatever. Like, it's really easy to find just a pile of cards that are like, oh, they will never reprint this ever because they realize it was either A, a mistake, or B, just really, really hard to print.
When you wrote it, how did you look at it? Did you look at – tell people, did you look at mechanics or cards or what? Uncommons.
Mechanics were the big one to me, and just like looking into the future, like Infect, Suspend, Eldrazi, like just weird purple mana stuff, like just things that they are not likely to revisit in the next like decade or so. Like, and they got a whole lot of backlash for Infect. Suspend combined with other just like absurd cards. Like Restore Balance is obviously a pick that like Travis and I get poked at a lot for. But honestly, if you tell me in the next 2 to 3 years where they can put that card in a set. And they can't. They're not going to waste a slot on it on Modern Masters. Foils are even safer than non-foils just because of the ridiculousness needed to print foils. Like, it's just, they're unofficially on the reserve list. Like, Thought Not Seer. Pick foil Thought Not Seers, and then come back in 2 years. They're not going to be reimprinted, and they're, like, triple in price just because of the cards.
Pick all the Thought Not Seers.
Right. But, like, foils are even, like, safer than that.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
So, like, I sort of left foils out of my article just because it was sort of a given of like, oh yeah, foils are obviously harder to reprint. But like, if you're looking for an absolutely secure, safe investment, mm-hmm. go for foils. And if you're like, oh, I don't want to try to risk moving foils. Not a lot of people in my area like foils. I want to just buy non-foil specs and wait on them for a while. Like, you can still play long-term spec games over the course of like 2 to 3 years in Dodge reprints, just as long as you're smart with your picks. Like, you don't want to pick something that can obviously be in a reprint set in the next year or two, or that hasn't been reprinted in a while, but still could.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is my point.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's move into, just want to follow up from last week, because we had GP Dallas, we had Scred win, a lot of people were talking about it. So Scred Red fans, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the deck did nothing at the Open last weekend. It was won by Green White Tron by Tom Ross. So how about that? That's a new one. The white over the red in Tron.
I guess what is it, like Path to Exile is better for spot removal than like Pyroclasm because you have to kill, right, like the Infect or the Death Shadow. Is that it?
I think it's both that, and I think Dredge probably plays a large part of it because you get to play Rest in Peace in the sideboard, which is important. And whereas the green red versions, it basically comes down to, you know, Kozilek's Return versus Path, and then Pyroclasm versus something like Rest in Peace. Or this is the card that people in this, I haven't even looked to see if it might be a pick, but I would not be at all surprised if it's not currently, but will be. Blessed Alliance just does it all. Against Burn, it can gain you life. Against Boggles, even, it can make an opponent sack a creature. And Boggles is a deck that occasionally pops up from time to time in Modern when the field can't deal with it. And untapping two target creatures is just great in the mid-range mirrors. I mean, this card is good in a lot of decks, is especially, I think, at its best in the Bantle Eldrazi decks, where, you know, the untapping creatures can really matter, and they usually have, you know, a fair amount of mana. Blessed Alliance is just all over the place. And I'm actually curious now. I'm going to look it up and see what the cost of it is. So the regular version is 75 cents, which has been climbing. And the foil version looks like it's actually already spiked. It was $5 a couple months ago, and it's up to $9 now. So
I'm assuming you used MTG stocks for that?
I did. Is that incorrect?
Yeah, so like, if you use MTG stocks, you can find out like the retail price of the foil and non-foil. My go-to is just the QS trader tools because I have the Pro Trader. Mm-hmm. But that lets me look at the buy list price to see what vendors actually want this card. And like Corbin said, average retail price, like 80 cents or so. And then there's actually a bunch of stores that want this anywhere between 37 and 40 cents. So it's not just something that you own and then can't get rid of because it's a dollar, but nobody wants it. You can actually buy with these. The cool stuff, ABU Games, Isle of Cards, all for like around 40 cents.
Yeah, being able to see the spread at a glance tells you not only the retail price, but retail confidence. You know, if a card's got low spread, that means dealers don't mind paying close to retail for it because they either know they'll snap, get out of it, or they'll get more when they sell it later.
Right, and it's worth noting the foil price on TCG market price is $4.50. So, yeah, I think I really like picking up any foil Blessed Alliance you see. Not to mention, this is going to be a pick for years to come out of Eldritch Moon. So, yeah, that would just sort of diverge as we got talking about that green-white deck there. But, yeah, I think that's worth noting. The other one is, I talked about it last week, Ravenous Trap is another one to keep in mind.
I really like that pick.
Yeah. Uncommon from Syndicar.
That's a very me pick. It's just like this random uncommon from a set 5-6 years ago, never did anything, and suddenly you own like 50 copies when it starts seeing play, and you make a whole pile of money.
Yeah, and there's a lot out there on TCG Player. The price is 16 cents. The foil's a dollar. I think I would like picking up the foil ones there if you're going to make a move on it. But like DJ said, it could be any of them. It's hard because there are a lot of graveyard options.
Oh. Here's another thing. That goes back to what we were talking about before. Where can they reprint this card? It says trap on it.
Well, this could be in a commander set or something like that.
It could be in a commander set. Sure, that's yeah. Commander set is like the given, but like, where do you put foils of this card ever?
Yep, that's a good point.
Like, I can see commander set because it's actually makes sense there because it's a good graveyard hate in commander. I've had a friend play this against me in commander just because all my decks play graveyard stuff. But like, you can't put this card in foil anywhere except like in a Modern Masters or Eternal Masters set. That's it. You get once a year to reprint this card in foil.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. And I don't even, I mean, I could see the cycle of traps in a Modern Masters or something. Maybe, but a lot of them eat up rare spots. I mean, Archive Trap is the big one. So it is certainly possible that they do it, but I wouldn't say that it's high on the list of cycles I'd expect.
It's very, very difficult to reprint is my point. Like, people complain all of the time recently about, the amount of reprintings in Modern and Legacy and Commander has increased so much to the point that long-term specs are no longer viable. This is a card that proves that wrong.
Yeah, it's just the obvious ones aren't as viable.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so... before we move on from Star City results, I want to give a couple quick shout-outs for the standard portion of the event. One being Jack Kiefer. If you don't know the Kiefers, they're a family of three sons, all in their teens, whose family travels around with them as they play Magic events. And they're very good as a group, even the youngest is pretty young. But Jack is, I believe, the middle son, and he's an extremely good player, and he took down the standard classic. So congrats there to Jack. Just wanted to get that shout out in before we moved on. But is there anything else for Modern that stood out to you guys?
Delver Burn, Bant Eldrazi Dredge. Do you want to talk about Lantern Control?
No.
Yeah. So.
So boring.
I like Lantern.
Even talking about the deck's boring.
So Lantern Control is up to tied for fourth, at least looking at. Some of the statistics that MTG Goldfish pulls of the online metagame is fourth most popular online Modern deck right
That's
now.
So skewed because the deck's so cheap.
I mean,
online.
I'm sure it is.
It's
yeah.
You know, cheap decks are going to be overrepresented on Modo because if it costs nothing to put them together, people will play them.
I mean, that's certainly fair. You know, but it also had a large showing at the GP as well with some very good players on it. You know, I think this deck is probably sticking around for a while.
Ugh.
Are we sure we want to talk about this deck? Because it ruins some players' idealistic view that Modern is completely unaffordable and impossible to get into.
Play Frontier, guys. Because
you can throw this together. You can throw this together for what? Like, I'm looking at the list, like, I'm guessing, like, $300, maybe 400. It's like Glimmer Void, Mox Opal. What else is in here? Nothing?
Well, Academy of Ruins is not cheap. Academy of Ruins is $15 to $20. Too. The bridges are what kill you there. Thoughtseize.
You can get bridges for like what, 25, 30?
Why hasn't bridge been reprinted?
Yeah, this is probably like $400 to put together.
It's no Tarmogoyf deck, but it's
yeah, this
you
is
know,
like $400 to put together. So
yeah,
save up your money
maybe.
For like a standard season or two, and then you can buy this.
Yeah.
And Modern's not expensive.
Yeah, I would certainly say. I mean, it runs Spellskites and Leylines too, but I think 500-ish is probably a reasonable number for it. If you're one of the very types of people who likes to play this deck, which I am.
I mean, 400 is pretty cheap. How long does it take someone to make 400? I'm really out of touch with what poor people. Does it take like an hour to make $400 or something like that? It seems like a pretty low investment, right? So just buy the deck, you know?
Okay. Thanks for that, Jason.
Just like spend one day not buying fuel for your jet ski or whatever and just buy the deck instead. Like, look, I realize that, like, Lynx food is really expensive, but maybe you buy fewer endangered animals as pets next year, and, I don't know. I'm not trying to tell you how to live your life. This isn't Money Draft. I'm just saying that the deck's affordable, and maybe you should think about reprioritizing. It's also, like, what, 2 ticks on Modo or something stupid like that? I don't know. I bet the bridges are expensive.
I don't know what it costs on Modo. It is fun, though. I love it. But let's move on to Pick of the Week, because that leads right into my pick.
Pick of the Week. Pick of the Week. Pick of the Week. time for the pick of the week.
It leaves right in your pick, huh? Because your pick's out of the deck?
Yeah.
Hmm. Let me see if I can figure out what your pick is off the top of my head.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
Jeez, give me a second here. I really think I can... Of course, I can't find it.
Maybe.
This.
You might. It's guessable.
I accidentally closed the deck list, and now I can't find it.
It's probably Pithing Needle.
No.
Jason, you have a guess?
No, hang on a second.
I'm guessing Pithing Needle.
Worldbreaker, maybe? The deck doesn't have a...
Worldbreaker.
Worldbreaker.
I'm talking about Lantern, not Tron.
Oh, shoot. I don't know then. I don't care.
DJ's right. It's Pithing Needle.
Okay, how much is Pithing Needle?
$2.
That seems... I don't know.
$2, and it's up from $1 6 months
ago.
It's
been printed in...
RTR and Saviors and a Corset.
Tenth edition Saviors, both of which I think we can agree in terms of supply are more or less irrelevant. It's in Magic 2010, which, if for people who weren't playing back then, was the first M set they did. It was incredibly popular. It actually was underprinted because they based it off of previous core set numbers and not, you know, new set numbers. And there were shortages of it the summer it came out. So, you know, while all of these together add up to supply, none of them are anything like Return to Ravnica supply.
I thought it was in 10th edition, not M10.
It's in both.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So, but yeah, it's $2 right now. And it not only does it do, obviously for people who don't know, it's a one-drop artifact that you name a card, and activated abilities of sources with a chosen name can't be activated unless they're mana abilities. It
shuts down. Always name Underworld Connections with this. You'll never lose. You'll never lose. Pro tips.
I think DJ's pro tip there for people who don't know is that Underworld Connections gave the ability to the land. So naming Underworld Connections didn't do anything. Also worth noting that if you say Barigamos and you really mean Barigamos Enraged, you should name the right card.
Well, didn't the judges go back and say that they made a mistake on that one?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure like they ruled in favor of the guy. They ruled in favor of the guy who like played the or who had the Barigamos deck. Like he ended up like missing the Pithing Needle and getting killed, but I think the judges ended up ruling saying like, hey, our bad, we should have ruled in favor of the guy who had like had obvious intent and knew what he was doing.
Right. Yeah, the guy named Barigamos, he obviously meant Barigamos Enraged, but they were like, well, Barigamos is technically a card and that's the card you named. So
I don't think it's pronounced Barigamos.
Screw you.
I think it's Borborygmos.
Borborygmos.
If you said Borygmos and I'm the judge, I'd be like, no, sir. No, I meant Borygmos Engaged. No.
Well, that's actually the best thing, right?
That's
if you said Borygmos and they're like, sorry, man, you didn't say Borygmos Engaged. You named a card. Come back and be like, no, I didn't.
I Corbin'd that up good. It's good that we have a replacement for Marcel on our segment called...
Hey, that word is hard. I've never gotten that one right. No, if you said you Corbin'd, all the people locally here have started using the term hostlered for something that gets screwed up. They're like, I really hostlered that one.
Do you wonder why everywhere you go, you're that guy? Everything's like, wow,
it's fine, ma'am.
Every group independently just decided to troll me because I'm such a cool guy.
I'm waiting for Corbin to say it, too, as a joke, and then he mispronounces his own name. He's like, oh, I really hostlered that one up.
Yeah, hosler.
I do not mind.
Canadians have been saying hosler as an insult for years.
I do not mind poking fun at myself, nor others poking fun at me when it is all in good fun, so I'm not offended.
Yeah, because you're used to
it. But anyways... Back to Pithing Needle, it's $2 right now. It's climbed from above. There's a lot of printings of it, but I think there's no reason, if Lantern continues to stay viable and just sort of the general usefulness of this card in a lot of different scenarios, it's probably $4 to $5 eventually.
Did you say $45? Yeah. That's ballsy.
Yep, clearly. $4 or $5 in a year or so, maybe shorter. It's one of those, if it really catches on, if Lantern wins an event or something and it's three Pithing Needles in the main deck, it might just double overnight to $5.
Yeah, and everyone should play Pithing Needle against that deck too. Named Codex Shredder.
At least I got it right. A lot of people call it Pithing Needle.
Yeah, a lot of people do a lot of dumb stuff, man.
All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
All right.
Go ahead, DJ.
No,
it's fine. When the guest gets a little too big for his britches, and he's like, oh, I'll go before the real hosts. Yeah, go ahead. Let's hear your pick.
We used to make him go first because he was the guest. That's the best part of this. Our rules are not consistent.
Our rules don't have to be consistent. We own a podcast. We can do what we want, especially to a guest.
Oh, you're right, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So as long as we're guessing picks, mine is a foil Darksteel rare, if anyone wants to guess it. It's black. It's a foil black Darksteel
rare.
Hang on.
Let me think for a second. Foil.
And it's based on like recent information. It's not just some random card I've been stockpiling for no reason. It's just something I found a couple. Like the non foil has been reprinted, but the foil has not.
Oh, I'm on it. I got it. Easy game. Easy game. Easy life.
Oh, it's been reprinted.
The non foil has. Right, I'm picking the foil.
Right. So it just was in Commander 2016, probably.
I know what it is.
Oh, it's what's it called? The beacon, right?
Nope.
Really?
All right.
I'm ready.
Jason didn't guess it. Time's up. Jeopardy theme song is over. Death Cloud. Nope. Not Death Cloud either.
Oh, but Death Cloud's a good pick, man. It's doubled up
in
the past year.
Did I guess a Fifth Dawn card?
I think so.
All right, what is it? Yeah, it should be Death Cloud, but
so
whatever.
My pick of the week is Aether Snap.
Oh, Snap.
It is a 5-mana black rare that was reprinted once in Commander 2014 in the Omni Nyxilis deck, and the non-foil, or the foil, has never been reprinted, and it's like $3.
Remove all counters?
This is a 5-mana black rare that says, fuck Atraxa.
Yeah, it kind of does. Remove all counters and exile all tokens.
Exile all tokens. You can build your deck around this such that you aren't really affected by it. And I know that EDH doesn't have a whole lot of metagaming. There's no sideboards. You don't like pick cards in your deck just specifically for other specific decks. But if that guy at your table ends up playing Atraxa Super Friends and just gets real cocky and real in your face about, oh, I've got like 18 planeswalkers and I'm doubling season every turn. Well, this says destroy all planeswalkers, exile all tokens, remove all counters from everything, and just tells that Atraxa guy just go home and cry. So. I like foils of this at $3. I'm not saying you buy them out. I'm not saying there's a whole pile of demand for this, but this is just something to keep an eye on because I think this is a card you want to have in your arsenal just in case you want to slide it into your 70 or into your 99 that's already foiled out. This is another card that's hard to reprint.
Or you pay 12 cents for Thief of Blood.
that's a good pick.
But that one only pick doesn't that one only pick +1/+1 counters? I thought Thief of Blood only took +1/+1 counters.
I think it's all counters from all permanents. Now, you're going to make me look this card up?
You're the EDH
player,
not me.
Remove all counters from all permanents. You made me second-guess myself. I am the EDH player. Okay. That's why I said a thing, and then you tried to correct me. Then you look stupid. But I look stupid also for, like, not trusting that I'm smarter than you. So,
yeah,
you made
I agree. You should
dumb.
Know your stuff.
Jeez.
Yeah, you should know your
I
stuff,
I do know
man.
My stuff. I said it right the first time, man. Thief of Blood's just a better... it doesn't get rid of the token, so I guess...
DJ was right, though. Darksteel? Death Cloud has gone up to $1.60 from 80 cents at the beginning of the year.
Horrible!
It's been reprinted once in Modern Masters.
To $2, and then they'll put it in another Commander set, and you're going to get your dick ripped off. Don't do it.
It was in Modern Masters only. It's possible. Whatever, man. Death Cloud is a sweet card.
I know it's a sweet card. That's why they're going to keep printing it.
They printed it literally once reprinted.
Exactly.
And they're going to keep Okay. Sure.
So Thief of Blood will be better than Aether Snap in certain decks, but it also doesn't exist in foil. If you have a bunch of token decks in your metagame, Aether Snap solves the token problem too, so pick whichever one works best for you. Thief of Blood is not a pick, though.
You're proposing this as a one way to deal with not just Atraxa, but token decks in your all-foil commander deck. That's very niche. I like it. Yeah.
Whatever, man. It's a foil. It's a thing.
Can't get foil Thief of Blood. That's too bad. Honestly, they're probably better off doing Judge Foil Thief of Blood than whatever Judge Foil they're going to do this time around from Commander stuff. My pick is a pick that I thought I've done as a pick, and I haven't, it turns out. So we're money drafting this week, and JR mentioned this card, and I was like, yeah, just steal my Brainstorm Brewery picks of the week. And he's like, you've never done this as a pick of the week. And I realize he's right. The card is Norn's Annex. Oh, shit. I was supposed to have you guys guess. I forgot.
We can still guess its price. It's like $3, right?
Yeah, good guess. That's exactly how much it costs. Yeah. It's $3. It's a great buy at $3. It's Fire Exit Mana. It's not getting reprinted.
That's another Modern Masters 2017 or fuck all Noseware. Like,
yeah, it's going to be really tough. They didn't have to do it this time because they did Ghostly Prison, which really needed it. Because Ghostly Prison was like one of those EDH cards that Modern like pretended they wanted, and just Modern made it go from like $2 to $20 or whatever it was. And then Modern's like, just kidding, we don't need this anymore, but it's still $20. So it was a good reprint. I'm really glad they reprinted Ghostly Prison. But Norn's Annex is way harder to reprint, in my estimation. They've done some stuff that's a little tricky to reprint in these Commander sets, because the concept of Phyrexian Mana is not that tricky. It just seems like they'll be a little bit more reluctant than some other cards. So I like Norn's Annex at $3. It has to go in white decks, unfortunately, in EDH. You can't just say, hey, I'll just pay the life. It can go in any color deck. It can't. It's got to go in white decks, but white decks are the decks that are playing cards like this anyway. You got your Ghostly Prison, you got your Sphere of Resistance, you've got your...
You mean Sphere of Safety?
Yeah. Sphere of Resistance is good, but yeah, Sphere of Safety is the one I mean. So you just build your little wall, maybe get some blue stuff in there with your Vortex and Propaganda, and then...
Propaganda! Overburden. Overburden is my favorite Olero prison effect.
Coxkin Falls is my favorite because you can randomly turn on your Painseer. So yeah, good times. I think Norn's Annex is a good pickup at $3, and I don't know. All right. Maybe buy the foils for anything your else, foil EDH deck that apparently people build.
Anything else you guys want to touch on before we go this week?
How long was that?
What? Podcast?
Oh,
an hour?
52 minutes. Jeez, the time flew by. I don't even like you guys, and this was a good episode. Just kind of flew by.
I'm wondering if this guy that I bought a collection from is a cheater, based on how he sleeved.
Explain what you mean by that.
Like, half of his deck is double-sleeved, and half of it's not.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've had stuff like that before. You get a fancy card, and you double-sleeve it, and then you put it in
a deck like, it just feels like it's just random, it feels like. Like, the Salt-Crusted Marsh is double-sleeved, but, like, Seaside Citadel's not. It's not like the lands versus spells. It's just, like, it seems like a random assortment of... I don't know.
All right, well... There you go. I've got a baby staring at me ready to eat, so I'm gonna cut us off there. I need to make him a bottle. Oh, as he spits up everywhere. Yeah, Ben. This is the cameo from Ben for this week.
My kid's way better behaved on the podcast.
Got me. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This is Brainstorm Brewery. We will be back next week. See you then.
What we forgot to talk about was the fact that I seem to be the only person that's playing Cat President.
We should add that. Just keep going.
I mean, am I the only person that wants to make a Miawaka great again by playing Politicats? I've already retired. That's when you like basically level up but start out with points that you use to buy followers to make the game easier to play through the second time.
Oh my god.
So I've already retired twice.
You have a daughter. How can you do this? Go do something else.
Because the game's easy. I'm really good at it.
Oh, my gosh. Because
I was playing that He-Man game, so the He-Man game
prepared
me.
He's probably better than you, Corbin. Jason's better than you at this game than you are at League of Legends.
Oh! Yeah.
I guarantee you I could 1v1 Jason in League of Legends still. I might not be able to take you because I haven't played in 6 months, but I could easily take Jason.
I would embarrass you.
All right, man. I don't have the game installed, and I'm not going to install it, so... It won't happen.
As soon as I said I'll embarrass you, you're like, oh, maybe not. Pussy.
No, yeah, I would easily crush you.
Pussy.
I mean, insults don't bother me.
Are you talking to the game right now, or
I'm
Corbin?
Talking to Sweetie Pie. She's a good little puss. Yeah, you get those votes.
Right.
She's running against a hamster for class president. I hope she wins.
Wow, I gotta go. Matt could throw this in after hours or at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
or whatever,
you know, you could stay and make a Miawaka great again like a hero, but you're just going to run like a coward, so that's cool.
Fair enough. All right, see you guys.
There's got to be a pun somewhere with coward and cat, but I'm not smart enough.
A pussy? He's a pussy. Did Corbin really sign off of this call?
Yeah.
This was quality after hours, and he's got to go breastfeed a kid instead. This could go in the episode. He doesn't listen to the cast anyway, so we can say whatever we want about Corbin. Yeah, it'll go in the episode, and he'll never know. So,
he'll only know if people start tweeting it at him, which will be even better.
Yeah, you should... Oh no, okay, here's what you do, guys. Make him listen to it, and there will be nothing. So, I want everyone that listens to this episode to tweet at Corbin's like, dude, I can't believe you let them say that about you at the end of last week's Brainstorm Brewery episode. And he'll be like, what? Yeah, do it. It'll be nothing, but you'll make him look. I think that'd be a sweet prank. I hope at least like 5 or 10 of you do it. We got thousands of listeners. If I can't get 10 people to tweet at Corbin for a prank, we don't deserve to have a podcast. So definitely everybody, mess with Corbin by saying something like, that was really savage what they said about you at the end of last week's Brainstorm Brewery. And he'll be like, what? And then he'll listen and it'll be nothing. And then we'll laugh at him for looking. So definitely do that. So that's what we're doing this week. That's our Corbin prank. You guys can feel like you're part of the podcast by helping us prank Corbin. So definitely do that.
It's the interactive podcast experience.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we'll probably do a Teespring soon. I know some of you have been asking about that. This will give you time to get it in time for Christmas if you wanted it for a Christmas gift. So, Teespring! So that's basically what's up. Also, if you have friends who listen to this podcast, make sure and tell them where to find the podcast. I got a lot of people telling me, man, I wish you'd done an episode after 203. I get a person tweeting at me literally daily, being like, why did you stop doing Brainstorm Brewery? And like I said, we lost about 20% of our listeners. We would like to get them back, and I think there are people out there that would just love to listen to this podcast if they knew we still did it. So we're fixing whatever we need to do on our end, if anything, and you guys could be a big help by exposing new people to this cast and telling them, hey, listen to the podcast. It's about there's a guy, and he's something about cats, and there's like another guy, and he's from Oklahoma, and then there's a third guy who's, I guess he's like a guest. He's not really a guy on the cast, but he thinks he's a guy. I don't know. Explain it like that, because I think that's the best way to get people to listen to the cast. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. Have a good week.